Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels family of 22 brands has over 7,400 locations and the perfect hotel for any traveler you want to be. Like a Cambria Hotel, serving up locally inspired craft cocktails for all my folks who maybe want to meet up and talk about Mad Royals. Check into a Radisson Hotel with flexible workspaces for you strivers who listen during business travel. Or a Comfort Hotel with free hot breakfast, family-friendly pools, and big spacious rooms for the parents who listen with their kids and need a little retreat. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you when you book direct at choicehotels.com, where travels come true.
I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And not just the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go papertarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm JB Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Deblina Truck-Forty.
And I'm Sarah Dowdy.
And it's time for our annual look at the year in history, something that's become kind of a little tradition for us. And we've mentioned before how the news of historical discoveries or new research on older discoveries, often influences what we cover. So it just seems natural to do a little roundup of all those little bits of history news that piqued our interest but haven't made their way into a full episode or an episode update just yet.
But as always, we should point out that even though our title for this episode and the continuation of this episode is called Unearthed in 2012, it's not going to be all about stuff that came out of the ground by way of archaeological work and so forth. The finds that we're discussing could be from almost anywhere, the depths of the ocean or the depths of someone's forgotten basement storage, things that have been sitting around for decades even, in some cases, and are only finally being analyzed and new discoveries are being made.
And it's by no means a comprehensive list, this thing we're offering up here. The only thing that really ties all these finds together is the fact that there was news about them this year that we found really interesting, and we hope that you will too. So the first item on our list is an update to a mystery presented in a previous podcast on 16th century Danish astronomer Tycho Brahe, one of my favorite podcasts that we've done.
He is one of your favorites. And we have a, we even have a Christmas ornament of him that listeners sent us in last year.
We do. And Brahe, of course, if you didn't hear that podcast, was the first astronomer to describe a supernova, or the explosion of a dying star. He also discovered a new star in the constellation Cassiopeia, which was a pretty big deal at the time because people thought that everything in the universe, including the stars, was fixed, that nothing changed. So there's this crazy story about Tycho Brahe's death in 1601, which suggests that he died because he refused to excuse himself to use the bathroom while he was at a banquet at the Emperor's court in Prague. He thought it would be rude to get up in the middle of a meal. So as the story goes, by the time he got home, he wasn't able to urinate for 11 days until he finally passed away on October 24th, 1601.
So that's kind of the old-fashioned story about Tycho, and a lot of people believe this for many years until in the 1990s, some tests were done by researchers in Denmark on some hair samples from Brahe's mustache, which had been obtained when his body was exhumed in 1901. And these researchers found what they determined to be very high levels of mercury in these hairs. And they said that the levels were 100 times greater than normal mercury levels. So suddenly, mercury poisoning seemed to be entertained as a very likely cause of Brahe's death, and some people began to suspect foul play. If you start going down that path, you start wondering, well, if he was murdered, who did it?
Was it German mathematician and astronomer Johannes Kepler, whose work benefited a lot from Brahe's death? A lot of people thought that could be the case. Or was it Danish King Christian IV, who hated Brahe for supposedly having an affair with the king's mother? So there are several theories here, and we explored some of them in the episode that we did. Some people also thought that Brahe might have accidentally poisoned himself, since he was a bit of an alchemist. Maybe he made a medicine that contained mercury and just put too much in it. But around the time that we did this episode on Brahe in 2010, the astronomer's remains had just been exhumed from his grave in Prague once again so that researchers could explore some of these theories a little more. So in November of this year, a Danish-Czech team of researchers revealed what they had found when they analyzed bone and beard samples from this exhumation. Basically, they determined that Brahe's mercury levels were not high enough for this to have caused his death, so exactly the opposite.
Yeah, and they are still waiting for analysis of teeth samples to come back, but from what they found so far, he did not get an unusually large dose of mercury in the last 5 to 10 years of his life. And in fact, his levels weren't that much different from just the average person alive today. According to a BBC article, Dr. Jens Velev, one of the researchers in this project, said, quote, "It is impossible that Tycho Brahe could have been murdered. If there were other poisons in the beard, we would have been able to see it in the analysis." So, pretty definitive statement there.
They also solved another mystery we speculated about a bit in the Brahe podcast, the mystery of the composition of his metallic nose. So just a little background here. He lost his nose in a duel that he fought with another student while he was studying astronomy. They had fought over some mathematical point.
Naturally.
And Brahe had lost a chunk of his nose, and the story was that he replaced it with an artificial nose made of either gold or silver. Unfortunately, that artificial nose was missing when Brahe was exhumed in 1901, but the test done by this research team shows that the traces of copper and zinc that were found on the remains suggest that his prosthesis was actually made of brass.
And I've been thinking about this probably more than I should have, Dublina.
Really?
I've been thinking maybe brass complemented his skin tone better. I mean, silver or gold? That might be kind of difficult if that was, like, the middle of your face.
It wouldn't really blend, yeah, I guess.
Brass might, I don't know, a little rosier.
Maybe. It's a theory, Sarah.
I'll go along
with that. But the next item on our list involves someone else who is really well-known, another favorite of ours, I guess, to talk about, Leonardo da Vinci. And admittedly, da Vinci is a lot like Amelia Earhart in so much as you can't really seem to go one year without hearing some kind of news or new theory about him or one of his works.
It's easy to get them confused almost. You know that there's some new da Vinci find out there and you don't realize that it's actually a different one from the one announced a month before.
Yep.
But usually, the news items involve what's often called the world's most famous painting, the Mona Lisa, of course. And over the past couple of years, there's been a lot of news that has had to do with determining the identity of the portrait subject, the lady with the mysterious smile.
The generally agreed upon theory is that it's a painting of Lisa Gherardini, a Florentine merchant's wife. And this year there was more news about that, as Italian researcher Silvano Vincenti has been digging up human remains in an old abandoned convent in Florence that's believed to be Gherardini's final resting place. And he's hoping to find her remains and confirm that they're hers and do a facial reconstruction and then compare that facial reconstruction to the painting. And he's received a bit of criticism about this from other researchers for his methods. They don't really, first of all, they think it's going to be tough to identify her remains positively just because of the speed in which this is being done. And also, I mean, we've discussed this before, I think, on previous podcasts, how facial reconstructions aren't necessarily 100% accurate by any means. So
I think that's come up before with Utsi, in
it
fact.
Has. So just a little news in that area. But perhaps the more interesting Da Vinci-related news from this year, at least to me, involves a very different work of his, a mural called The Battle of Anghiari. And this work has sort of a strange mystery surrounding its history, too.
There really is a mystery. And it all started back in 1503 when Da Vinci and his rival artist, Michelangelo, got commissions at the same time to paint murals on opposite walls of the Palazzo Vecchio, which is now Florence's City Hall. And the murals were supposed to represent Florentine victories, but according to a Discovery News article by Rosella Lorenzi, Michelangelo's Battle of Cascina never made it past the sketching stage. Da Vinci, however, did start on his Battle of Anghiari, which featured the Florentines' 1440 victory over Milanese troops on June 6, 1505. There's some debate about whether Da Vinci actually finish this depiction, though. According to the 16th century painter, architect, and writer Giorgio Vasari, who wrote The Lives of Artists in 1550, Da Vinci only painted part of his work before abandoning it due to technical problems. And that's kind of where the mystery kicks off.
Yeah, Lorenzi writes that some historians think Vasari made up the story and that Da Vinci actually completed his work. It's hard to say for sure, though, because at some point, the Battle of Anghiari disappeared. And this happened when, around 1560, Vasari was hired to work on a citywide renovation to celebrate the Medici family. And in the course of this renovation, he was tapped to redo the Hall of 500. And after that, Da Vinci's mural wasn't seen again. And it only survives now in preparatory drawings and in sketches and a Rubens drawing that was inspired by an anonymous copy of the mural. A lot of Da Vinci's contemporaries, though, considered this his finest work. So naturally, a lot of people, including art diagnostic expert Maurizio Saracini, have been really interested in finding it. Saracini is the director of the Center of Interdisciplinary Science for Art, Architecture, and Archaeology at the University of California, San Diego. And he's been searching for the Battle of Anghiari since the 1970s.
So this year was clearly a major break for him because finally, Saracini and his team of researchers announced that they think that they might have found some solid clues as to the masterpiece's whereabouts. And they found the clues by drilling into a wall in the Palazzo Vecchio. Incidentally, it's a wall covered by another fresco called the Battle of Marciano, this one painted by none other than Vasari himself, following the renovation that he was involved in. So they drilled these six tiny little holes into Vasari's fresco and inserted a 0.15-inch wide probe and micro cameras in order to bring back samples of red, white, orange, and black pigment material.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels has a stay for any traveler you want to be with 22 brands and over 7,400 locations. Whether you're a business traveler, a family road tripper, someone who wants to seek out history and maybe make your own, or just planning a quick getaway, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Like a Cambria Hotel, where you can be a cocktail connoisseur and sip locally inspired craft beverages at downtown locations in the center of it all. This is a fun way to visit cities with a lot of history and a lot of fun in mind. Or a Radisson Hotel, for all our productivity powerhouses out there. With flexible workspaces and on-site restaurants, you'll get the most out of your work trip. You'll get the coffee, the Wi-Fi, and the work done. And we can't forget about comfort hotels. Imagine you're a family road tripper waking up in your big spacious room and then heading down to a free hot breakfast for the entire family, including waffles. So you'll be well-fed and ready for the day's adventure, even if that's just relaxing. After that, you're spending all afternoon relaxing by the pool. You deserve it. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you. Book directly at choicehotels.com, where travels come true. If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian, someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day, seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if everyone's being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource, and paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go papertarian? Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Then they analyzed it, and this is where this gets so cool. They analyzed this pigment and the chemical makeup of it, and it turned out that the chemical makeup of the black pigment is the same as the black pigment in the brown glazes used on Da Vinci's other works, including the Mona Lisa and St. John the Baptist. The other material appeared to have been applied by a paintbrush, the one that they retrieved. So really cool here, and especially I guess it's worth mentioning too that artists did have highly personalized pigment, so that's a big deal.
That's true. So essentially, this team's theory is that the Battle of Anghiari is located on a wall that's obscured by the wall that features Vasari's work, and you're probably wondering what makes them think that this could even be possible. And they have reason to believe this because apparently Vasari had done this in at least one other location during his renovations. In the Church of Santa Maria Novella, he had to get rid of Masaccio's Trinity, but instead of just destroying it, he bricked over it and added his own mural over the new wall. So Masaccio's fresco was found in 1861 when Vasari's wall was removed. And Saraceni even thinks he's found kind of a Vinci code-like clue that this happened on the wall featuring the Battle of Marciano, which proves that Da Vinci's work might be behind it. Apparently, Vasari wrote the words "Cerca trova," seek and you shall find, on a little green flag that exists on that wall.
It's pretty awesome, isn't it?
It is. It's pretty cool.
There was also a radar survey, though. You know, this is not all little green flags written by Vasari. There was a radar survey that was carried out in 2011 that showed a hollow space between Vasari's mural and the original stone wall, which was the only gap of its kind that existed in the room. So naturally, Saraceni wanted to do some more drilling, do some more research here, and see if he could get some additional evidence to prove the theory that there is a lost Da Vinci behind this mural. And initially, the mayor of Florence was on board with it. According to Lorenzi's article, Saraceni felt that it could be, quote, one of the biggest discoveries in the history of art. But unfortunately for Saraceni, according to a New York Times article by Elisabetta Povledo, the project was ultimately suspended when art authorities in Florence turned down the request to drill more holes in Vasari's work. I mean, you've got to, it's not like they're just drilling through some plain stuccoed wall.
Right.
It does have a Vasari mural on it. From an art conservation standpoint, people were very opposed to the idea of it, doing something like that just in the hope of finding something amazing beneath it. Saraceni, though, was very disappointed. He told the New York Times, quote, "Now we have lost an opportunity." So we'll find out. I mean, maybe this is a case where technology can give us a peek without having to destroy Vasari's work on top of it.
Yeah, maybe there will be a way to do it someday. It would be interesting to find out if it's actually back there. It's kind of a cool story nonetheless. So that Da Vinci story, though, we have to admit, it is cheating a little bit. It's kind of like an almost unearthed item rather than a true unearthed item. But there are a couple of findings out of China that occurred this year that were much more concrete that we want to share.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels has a stay for any traveler you want to be, with 22 brands and over 7,400 locations. Whether you're a business traveler, a family road tripper, someone who wants to seek out history and maybe make your own, or just planning a quick getaway, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Like a Cambria Hotel, where you can be a cocktail connoisseur and sip locally inspired craft beverages at downtown locations in the center of it all. This is a fun way to visit cities with a lot of history and a lot of fun in mind. Or a Radisson Hotel, for all our productivity powerhouses out there. With flexible workspaces and on-site restaurants, you'll get the most out of your work trip. You'll get the coffee, the Wi-Fi, and the work done. And we can't forget about comfort hotels. Imagine you're a family road tripper, waking up in your big spacious room and then heading down to a free hot breakfast for the entire family, including waffles. So you'll be well-fed and ready for the day's adventure, even if that's just relaxing. After that, you're spending all afternoon relaxing by the pool. You deserve it. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you. Book directly at choicehotels.com, where travels come true. If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian, someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day, seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if everyone's being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource, and paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go Papertarian? Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/Papertarian. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Truly unearthed.
Yes.
One has to do with the world's largest human-made structure, a UNESCO World Heritage Site, which is, of course, the Great Wall of China. And major construction on the Great Wall began around 220 BC under the orders of Emperor Qianshi Huang, who used the wall to protect the Chinese Empire from northern tribes. And, of course, though, it wasn't just one big project all done in the same style. It's been renovated many times by several different dynasties, even though the majority of the existing structure reflects construction and renovations that were done during the Ming Dynasty.
Yeah, that's what you've probably toured if you visited the Great Wall, the Ming portions. Previously, the length of the wall was estimated to be around 5,500 miles or 8,850 kilometers. But the Great Wall, turns out, isn't just one continuous wall. It's a series of sometimes overlapping fortifications made of stone, bricks, or in some spots, packed earth. The construction of which began as early as the 7th century BC. And according to an article by Malcolm Moore in The Telegraph, an attempt to survey all of these fortifications began in 2007. The survey encompassed 15 Chinese provinces with the goal of measuring every little piece of wall that they could find.
So the findings from that survey, which were revealed this summer, were that the wall is actually more than twice as long as previously thought. It's 13,170 miles or 21,196 kilometers. But there were a few other results of the survey, too. A total of 43,721 heritage sites were identified nationwide. And there's a new initiative to map out all of the wall, too, as part of an effort to preserve it. You can't really protect something necessarily if you don't know that it's there.
There was also another Chinese find announced over the summer. Chinese archaeologists discovered 110 more terracotta warriors. And if you don't know about this, the terracotta warriors are, of course, part of the ancient terracotta army, a collection of life-size terracotta sculptures that were built to guard the tomb of China's first emperor, Qianshi Huang.
I think there might be an old episode on them, too, maybe done by Candace and Jane.
Oh, we'll have to check that out. The Terracotta Army was first discovered in 1974 by someone who was digging a well, and it's a World Heritage Site also.
According to an AFP article, though, the most significant aspect of this new discovery is that the new 110 figures were found really well preserved, so much so that they're still colorfully painted. I mean, I don't know. Did you visit the High Museum exhibit when there were the terracotta?
I didn't.
No, you missed it.
I missed it.
Very cool. But one of the most impressive aspects of it to me were the pictures of the before. And it's just totally smashed little pieces of terracotta, and those are what they ultimately piece together into these complete statues. So
amazing.
This is so cool to me to hear that they're finding figures that are better preserved and still even have pigment on them. This is neat too. The paint doesn't seem to have faded as much as the researchers would have expected. So it is still bright and almost true to what it would have been originally.
In addition to the warriors, some pottery horses, parts of chariots, weapons, and tools were also found.
I have a hunch, too, that this is the story. The terracotta warriors and more finds there could be something that would be in an unearthed episode year after year. Because,
so true.
Yeah. It's a huge complex. And one of the things I remember from visiting that exhibit at the museum, I think maybe last year or 2 years ago, were pictures of the complex as a whole and how little of it had really been excavated. Pretty neat.
Yeah, it is. Well, that is our episode, Unearthed in 2012, Part 1. We have more finds to come in Part 2.
Just for a little teaser, too, we're going to be talking about vampires. We're going to talk about crazy Roman stuff and some Maya history.
So, I mean, that's why we had to divide it into two episodes. There's just too much good stuff, and I didn't even get to include.
Happened.
We didn't even get to include everything we wanted to in two episodes.
Dublina worked up an enormous list of possible topics. Some of them, I don't know, maybe they'll inspire full-length episodes of their own.
I think there are a couple ideas on there that could make good full-length episodes, so we may see them later on down the line. But for now, just get ready for Part 2. Before we move on to that, though, we want to share a little bit of listener mail.
We wanted to share a postcard that we received from Shannon. It's of Saudi Arabia, and she was saying that she figured of all the postcards that we received, we've never received one from Saudi Arabia. I'm not sure.
I
tried to think of it.
Can't remember
it
one.
Might be a first. I hope I don't offend anybody if you have sent me one from Saudi Arabia. But it's a really cool postcard. It was just sitting on my desk when I came in one day. But it is of two men greeting each other in front of a huge array of knives. So it's kind of an intimidating postcard. But, you know, they're at a market. It's not a threatening situation.
I hope the message is friendly.
Yeah. But she wrote to send a few suggestions, too. And one of them was an episode on Robert Louis Stevenson and suggested that he might make a cool podcast. And I thought, that kind of fits into our historical authors sort of series we do.
That's true.
So thank you very much for that suggestion, Shannon, and for the postcard.
If you'd like to share some stories with us of your travels or just some ideas for future podcasts, maybe some bits of history news that you've noticed that we haven't talked about, please write to us. We're at historypodcast@discovery.com. We're also on Facebook and we're on Twitter at Mist in History.
And I think we actually have an article on the Terracotta Warriors, don't we?
I think we do.
So that would be a fun one for people to check out, although we might need to go update it now if there's been this new discovery. Maybe it's already been taken care of. Fingers crossed. So if you're interested in doing that, go check out the article on the Terracotta Army on our homepage. It's at www.howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at USPS.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.